Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. I'm Lindsay Curry, and this is my co-host, David Curry. We have been dedicated to learning and growing in the entrepreneurial space for the past 14 years. Balancing family and business as a husband and wife team, we are committed to making a positive impact. We love adding value to people's lives, and this podcast is all about you. David, I'm excited for today. I'm excited for this podcast because I know today is about the bigger vision. And you, of all people, have always been fantastic at really sharing that big vision and really kind of casting what is next to come as far as vision. So let's talk about vision, David.
Yeah, thank you, Lens. I just want to, say we are very thankful to those that have reached out. I guess we're old pros now here, you know, for the second podcast being recorded. So this is easy stuff for us at this point. But no, we do. We truly appreciate the folks that have reached out, that have tuned in, listened, like, subscribe, all the good things above. And we appreciate it. That's what we're doing this for. That's great feedback. We're asking for that feedback. We are all about doing this to help others, you know, take our experience and hopefully let somebody tune in and tag along to what it is, the lessons that we have learned, sometimes painfully, and make your journey in entrepreneurship easier. So we do appreciate it. As you may know, we put ourselves out there. I think my cell phone is tagged to the end of this podcast. So literally, if you are somebody that's thinking about or wants to reach out to us, we are more than open to hearing from you. So with that, we will kick into the second episode of our podcast life. And yeah, big picture. So running through some things this past week, I guess we were talking about that bigger picture, the vision to our team, and ran across this quote from an old chancellor of Germany, Konrad Adenauer, that says, "We all live under the same sky, but we all don't see the same horizon." Mm. And I love that because it's so true. You know, I said it this week. I'm like, you know, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, they all live in the same world we did. They do. We all have the same opportunity they had, but they have clearly separated themselves to a degree from your normal average everyday person. And a lot of that comes from vision. So we want to talk about vision today. And as I broke down vision for myself, I just wanted to put it in my own context. Like, how do you build a vision? Because I think some people may really have trouble with that. And I thought about, like, you as an employee, you're probably just a piece of the puzzle of somebody else's vision, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're this player in their world, in their vision. And with us, Lindsay, I know we're going to kind of tell our story a little bit today and kind of bring you from where we were to where we are. But to me, there's five steps to the bigger picture and the vision. And it starts with a dream. And I know, Lindsay, you and I always had a dream, right? We didn't always have the right plan. But it starts with a dream. If you don't have the dream, then you're really never going to go anywhere. You know, you're just always going to kind of fumble through and take one small step at a time and figure out where life blows you. It's like, are you just letting the wind blow you around, or are you going to be intentional about where you want to go on your journey? So once you have that dream, in my opinion, what helps you set the vision is really the collaboration, because it's been said a lot, and in most cases, you're not really going to try to go somewhere no one else has ever been before. So, and I know that for us, Lindsay, was really our steps, right? Like, we had this dream and these ideas, and we felt confident and worthy, but we didn't necessarily have the vision, the plan, because for me, step three is that plan, right? You collaborate with folks, you make the plan. So, Lens, that's really where we started.
Absolutely. And you know, when you talk about, David, collaboration, I think back to my Aunt Becky, and she actually had a monogram business, and she was actually who inspired me to start my boutique. Actually, David and I started it from the ground up, and it had been in business for 3 years, and that inspiration because of what she was doing, right? And so if I take a few years earlier, when I actually was chaperoning my sister on her high school spring break, we were at the Grand Cayman Islands. It was early in the morning. We were the boat people, right? We were the cruise people that were getting off the ship. And I was chaperoning. So I had a bucket of waters that I was walking down the beach with. And all of a sudden, I see this couple walking towards me, and they grab my arm. And I'm like, who the heck is this? Because they had sunglasses on and a ball cap. And it happened to be Glenn and Val, who are actually now, you know, Glenn is one of our business partners. And I was like, what are you doing here? And what he was doing there is he had earned a trip, an earned trip through insurance. And he said, hey, come on down here. Again, we're at the Grand Cayman. If anyone's been there, it's absolutely breathtaking and beautiful, the water. But he walked me down. They were actually staying at the Ritz-Carlton, and I was just in awe of what you were able to accomplish just by putting in hard work, right? He had earned that trip. But in that moment, David, I really got to see a different lifestyle, right? I got to see a different lifestyle of something that they had worked really hard to earn, and he had achieved it. And so when I go back to when we were at the boutique, when we had started it from the ground up, and we were working super hard, and I was the only person answering the phone or ordering merchandise, servicing the customers, and we weren't making any money, there was always this dream, this bigger picture in the back of my mind of, hey, I wonder if I could do what he does, right? As far as insurance. I didn't really understand what he did at that time, but it was always a dream of a bigger vision of what I had at that moment.
Yeah. And I mean, just hearing you out, first off, you know, Glenn is her uncle. So him running up and grabbing her on the back of the arm at the beach, Glenn wasn't a stranger at that point. So it wasn't as, you know, awkward, maybe.
Scary.
Yeah. As our last cruise ship exiting into Haiti, you know, a couple months.
Right.
But yeah. So, and that's where life pressurizes you. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. There's two pieces to today's message, right? Number one is setting the vision, right? Like, I've got to set this bigger picture as to what I want. That starts with your dream. Number two is actually executing and living that out. And that is the hard part, especially in entrepreneurship. Like Lindsay said, we're 3 years into this business that we built, like blood, sweat, tears, paint, late nights, you know, putting this shop together, money we probably didn't have. And we're 3 years down the road and we're still in the same boat. Like, money's not coming in. Business isn't doing what it needs to do for us to live our life, right? And that's the cycle, I think, on a small scale of what entrepreneurship is. So when I talk about building the vision, I have a 5-step process to that, and it's dreaming, collaborating, planning, executing, and then evaluating, right? So at that point, I was living the golf pro dream, had a beautiful office, had a terrible bank account, and Lindsay was living the boutique ownership dream. And kind of the same thing, beautiful office, but terrible. And we had to make that change. And Glenn had always been that person that showed us a lifestyle, was closer to the dream that we had, right? Financial freedom, the ability to take these nice vacations, not working your life away.
Well, and at that moment, we were newly married and we were expecting our first kid, Locke. We were expecting him. And so we weren't bringing in any money. We had another mouth to feed. So we had, you know, it's almost, if anyone is listening to this, where your back is almost against a corner and you've got to make a change, right? And what I will say is that even though we weren't making any money and I was jumping straight into full commission sales, which sounds crazy. It sounds absolutely crazy, but I was excited. I was very excited because I saw the opportunity within the platform, right? And I saw something that David was extremely supportive and, you know, we had the same vision of what we wanted to develop out of this opportunity.
Right, really. I mean, my tagline has always been, I didn't get into insurance to be the insurance salesman, right? Like, we got into this industry to build a business. And that's because we had leaders that showed us a path to growing a business. And, you know, that's one of the things, too, that John's always taught us, like, vision, the leader, they see more and they see before others. So that is the importance of that collaborative effort. When you're in the point of establishing a vision, you've got to attach yourself to a leader that's kind of at that point that you want to go. You want to chase that piece, right? You want to get to that point with where that person's at and hopefully go beyond where that is and continue to grow that point. So that was really it. And we started that journey of our insurance business. And, you know, Lindsay will tell you that I kind of pushed you into that because I had a salary that was going to at least keep the lights on at the house. And yes, that commission-based sales world was different. It was different and it was scary. But we had the leadership with us that said, hey, if you can just buy into this, and it's like Lindsay said last week, I'm going to work. This is what leadership said to us. This is what Glenn said to her. If you are working hard enough for yourself, I'm going to stay right there with you and I'm going to work with you. Not to mention, we've got a 20-year track record of selling this one product, right? Like, we're not picking up into the solar sales business. We're picking up into something that has been established. We know how to get in front of the right person. And when we get in front of those people, we know how to follow them along and walk them down the road that they are very comfortable taking care of this today with us. So that is where the execution comes in, because now we had the plan, right? Now we're at step four and it's like, boom. Let's go. Let's take this. Let's run with it. This is going to be that avenue to taking us down this road of chasing our dream of financial security. Really, at that point, it wasn't financial freedom. It was just security. Like, give me a ability to pay next month's bills before they come. You know what I mean? So that was it. But then, hey, what does entrepreneurship do to you? It slaps you in the face every day, right? Like, I love Mike Tyson. You can have the perfect plan till I punch you in the mouth. And then everything changes. And that's the epitome of what entrepreneurship does. I love, and I'll quote Jeff Bezos, right? We've learned from where I love how he said, the day that I got rid of my excuse department, is the day the entire business changed for me. And that's it. When you get out of thinking that you're not going to fall and you're not going to fail and make mistake and have struggle and have people doubt you, when you get out of that, that is when you can run. And that is when you can then take it into step five and evaluate what I'm doing so I can get better tomorrow. Mm. Right? Because I love what John says. Experience is life's greatest teacher. No. Evaluated experience is the best teacher. If you don't evaluate what you've done and how you've got there, it's really hard to be prepared and ready for tomorrow. And Lindsay, I know that that was a lot of what we talked about this week. Like, you got to have the vision and you got to have the game plan. But what did I say? It's not the glamorous things that create the glamour. You know, The glamour that all these uber successful people have, it wasn't glamorous getting to that point.
No, absolutely not. And if you listen to a lot of other podcasts, they talk about that. Yes, now it may look very glamorous, but there's still, you know, there was a lot of days that they were grinding. And in that book that we're going through, The High Road Leadership, he talked about, you know, after one business failed, he spent 7 days a week working 15, 16 hours a day. To achieve his next entrepreneurial business. And so, you know, when you think about that, and I think about the bigger vision for our business and daily challenges that may weigh folks down, right? Because let's be honest, we can get weighed down by the day-to-day things that come at us, whether it be kids or someone sick or something didn't go the way we intended it to go. Something that I revert back to is dance, because I grew up dancing my entire life, studio dance. I danced in high school. I danced in college. And so the mindset of dedication, of training, we trained through Christmas break in high school. I mean, Christmas Eve, we were training. Those 2 weeks that all the high schoolers have off, we were in there training two times a day. And I fast forward to college and spring break when everyone's gone and having a great time, we're in there training 2 times a day. And so why were we doing that, right? What would make someone want to stick that out? Well, it was for the bigger vision. We wanted the national title. And so when I think about hard things, in entrepreneurship is hard, by far the hardest thing, one of the hardest things I've ever, and that, you know, I revert back to some of the daily grinds of practicing. It was always a mantra that I said to myself, hey, if I can do ladybirds, I can do anything, because that was also another extremely hard thing that I accomplished. And that was just a mantra that, you know, when I'm faced with something hard, hey, well, guess what? I've been here before and I can dig deeper. And persevere to push through.
Yeah, and I love that, right? Because you have to, as you're fighting that entrepreneurial battle, you have to remember why you're doing it, and you have to remember what that reward could look like. Because if those things get lost, then those small daily fights that you didn't always expect to come at you will knock you down, right? So I love how you said that, because I think, you know, a lot of people, you talk about your why and you're like, well, I've got my kids at home and I've got to pay the bills, or like I want these specific things in life, and I want to separate, or I want to be able to give so much to charity, and I want to do all these things, right, or as my whys. But I love how you say, what helped me a lot was reverting back to the past and knowing that I've been through these battles before and I've seen the successes come through.
Well, if you think about it, because there may be folks on here that are listening that are in the sales arena, whatever type, if it's insurance, any type of sales, and think about, hey, that really challenging, difficult customer that you ended up winning over, right? And they ended up purchasing a product. I guarantee there are several people listening to this call that when you're going through some of those trials and you're dealing with that difficult customer, you revert back to the last difficult one and you continue to persevere. And there's no doubt in my mind. So, you know, really persevering. And I think, David, also being mature enough to have self-awareness, right? Because maturity is a lot of what I feel we've developed through our, you know, through this journey. We've grown a lot together as a couple and as business partners, and we've learned from a lot of the mistakes that we've made along the way.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it was read that, you know, today's society, right? Today's society, everybody, you want it now. You know, it's even hard to maintain maturity no matter what age you are in the way that the world operates now. We want all of this now. But if you speak to any, and I'm going out on a limb saying that, you speak to any successful, especially entrepreneur, most of them are going to tell you that it's taken persistence, it's taken time, it's taken losses, it's taken a lot of learnings. And, you know, I remember when, you know, Lindsay and you and I went to that Rachel Hollis conference, and she kind of blew up back, you know, a couple of years back, and The Girl Wash My Face. Is that the name of it, right?
Yes, Girl Go Wash Your Face.
And she said, she's like, you know, it's funny listening to all these people out here act like I just overnight blew up and I was this overnight success because of this one book that I started working in this space 15 years ago. And I've been grinding and I've written this book and that book. And that's typically the story. Mm-hmm. You know, Lindsay, you mentioned Jamie Kern Lima with IT Cosmetics and being at that point of a couple of years into the business and not a whole lot of success, not a lot of money left in the bank. And that one QVC opportunity that blew her up. Like, there is story after story after story. And it does. And so when I thought about that maturity aspect of what entrepreneurship requires, for me, I said, maturity is understanding that we overestimate what we can do in a day, but we severely underestimate what is possible in a year. And it takes that maturity and that resilience and that perseverance to stay your course for an extended period of time when you didn't blow up overnight, when you didn't go viral after you went to bed, right?
Absolutely. And When you talk about severely underestimate what you're able to accomplish in a year, I think about 2017, we had just had our second kid in the April when, you know, we had tax debt. And at that point, we had about $60,000 worth of debt. All right, this is 3 years into the business. So I want to give a little context, and I know David's going to help me here, but we had two kids. It wasn't like we were going out and buying lavish cars and a new home. No, we bought a car that had AC, all right, that we could fit two car seats in, all right? And also, I still had to pay on my baby because I had a C-section, all right? And I think we had some student loans. So at that point, I remember us having this conversation. And again, we were new into the entrepreneurial 3 years in, and you're like, we're going to take this to the grave. And I knew we weren't. I knew we weren't. And the reason I knew we weren't is because we had a burning desire to take care of this debt, first and foremost, number one. And we reached out to some people that really helped us along the way of, hey, doing the Dave Ramsey method, right? And we sold our brand new car that we just purchased, or it might have been a year old. I can't really remember. Bought
nine
two.
Months old.
None. Okay, there
I
we
remember
go.
Remember how much that car cost us.
I know you do.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But bought two cars for about 6,000-7,000, and they fit car seats in the back. And we just started, and people thought we were crazy, by the way. And this is a quote. This is something that I wanted to bring up because I remember your parents even offered to buy this car to help alleviate debt. But, and I was thankful that they offered that. But what struck me in that moment was when you accomplish something on your own, there's a deep sense of pride that comes with that. And so because of what we had created, I wouldn't say necessarily because of a bunch of bad choices, but just a season of life that we were in. But I wanted us to accomplish this on our own, right? Because we were a family, and I want to accomplish this. And fast forward 9-10 months later, we had paid off $60,000 worth of debt. And that was just doing this Dave Ramsey method that we were using at that time. And it really just helped us to kind of snowball and get some things in perspective.
Yeah. And that really, when we go back to where we started in the 5-step process, that was a time to evaluate. That is the time. So after step 5, you evaluate, then you adapt, and then you go again. Right.
Right.
You know, I love the quote's been hitting me all week long. Things may come to those who wait, but only what's left from those who hustle. Mm-hmm. And that was Abe Lincoln. I don't even know, 100 years ago, whatever, somebody else I'm sure can fact check how long ago that was said. But it's the action piece that separates everything. So we evaluated where we were, right? And we knew what our plan, level 3, we knew what that plan was capable of doing for ourselves. So we knew that if we just evaluated, adapted, and then we went back to level 4 and we executed again at a high level, high performance, hype, that we knew we could separate ourselves from mediocre society, which is what you get when you operate as your typical employee who, again, is living out someone else's vision, someone else's dream, right? So I love it. It was, and it felt like it was going to be there forever. So,
well, you know, adversity.
I just want to say, what?
Adversity. I mean, just living through adversity and knowing that, hey, yes, when you're going through it, it feels like you're down in the valley, but there is always... You're either, what's the quote? You're either starting there, you're going through it, or you're coming out of it. And so there's always one step that you're in at all times.
100%. And, you know, as I prepared for this call and I'm thinking about the adversity that we've been through, and yes, the naysayers in 2017, like, those were my parents, right? Like, I remember that vividly. Of like, hey, maybe you should go work at UPS where mom's retired from, and you know, these great corporate paths can be created. But then I thought, like, we had the same thing from the people that were helping us with Dave Ramsey in 2018. We had non-believers in what we were doing when we bought into the John Maxwell Leadership Mentor Program in 2019. We had people in 2000, team members misaligned with us that did not see the vision with us in 2021. Right. We had the same thing after making monumental steps in our business. We had more team members misaligned in 22 and 23. Every step you take. And this is where I was thinking, maybe the next step call for us is on alignment, right? Because, you know, we've got 120 folks on our team right now that we're leading. We've been through about 400. We've learned a lot of lessons in doing that. And we can't go where we go if those 120 people aren't aligned with that vision, that direction, and these small steps. And the hard part for that is because leaders do see more and they see before. And the leadership has to set the path. And not always is that path going to be open and seen by everybody that is facing those everyday adversities.
Right. Well, and, you know, the leadership advantage to, you know, to be able to see more and see before others. So that's, you know, in that moment, it did look bad. I'm sure it looked awful, right? To the outsiders, right? When we talk about our parents or team members or whoever that may be, it looked bad. But because we saw a bigger horizon, right? Our horizon was different for what we wanted for our family and for our future.
Yeah, and we're not going to go into it today, but I just wrote down one more piece, right? Like the ground, because it's about maintaining your sight set on that horizon that you have painted. And most people aren't going to see that either. Correct. And most people certainly aren't going to walk that walk. They don't want to. So, you know, you hear so much out in the coaching space about gratitude. And I just feel like the ground is found in gratitude and humility. And we have gone back so many times in these moments of adversity of being thankful for what it is that we have been given, being thankful for the opportunity that we do have in front of us. And being humble enough to say, you know what, maybe we do need to adapt, change, and go a different direction. And those are the two secrets to successful business owners. Staying thankful, staying humble, adapting and growing. And I think with those things, hard work, effort, intentionality, and adaptability, you can do about whatever it is that you set yourself sights on.
Absolutely. Well, David, thank you very much for this episode today. Thank you to all the listeners, and we are excited to see you all next week.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high-performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial, that's hype.financial, to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.